Now, from the terrible, terrible story that we've had today, to something that's pretty uplifting, because you might remember 92-year-old John Leishman coming onto this programme last week, and he blew every single one of you away. He was one of the best callers we've ever had on the programme, actually. He was annoyed that veterans like him weren't being invited to Stormont for the Jubilee party for the Queen, and it wasn't long before Nolan listeners were offering John a ticket, and then the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister were offering him tickets, and Peter Robinson was trying to help him out. It was a really special day for John yesterday. He got one huge surprise because he got an extra special invite to meet Her Majesty herself. He joined the thousands welcoming the Queen. Our reporter Lisa McAllister caught up with him as he prepared for his royal engagement.
Hello, John, it's Lisa here.
Okay, thank you. I'm up the door now.
Thank you. What time have you been up from? Did you manage to get any sleep?
A quarter to six. I'm all set. It's going to be the greatest day of my life. The greatest day was when I got married to Florence. But this is another great day in my history sheet.
I'm looking at these pictures, John, yeah. And I can see all your medals. Have you got all your medals laid out and ready to put on today?
My coat's in here, my jacket's in here.
I must say, you are looking very dapper, John.
Oh, that was one thing. The wife made sure that I was always spick and span.
So this is your jacket you're going to wear today, John?
Oh, yeah, this is it.
I think when the Queen sees you in that jacket with all those medals, I think even she'll be impressed.
Yeah, that one there is 1939 till I got demobbed in 1946. That's the service medal, as they call it. That one there is the proudest medal of them all. That's the 8th Army, the Desert Rats against Rommel, from El Alamein right up to Algiers. And the next one was the invasion of Sicily. We went into Sicily and to Syracuse, and the Americans went into Palermo at the top. We were supposed to meet in the middle of Catania, and when we got to Catania, there were no sign of the Americans. We got Catania taken. There was still no sign of the Yanks, and we said, oh, the celebrators, they've been chewing them that much, they were stuck in their own chewing gum. And then Monty brought us back home at the end of February, the beginning of March 44, and we said, we're going to get a rest. He brought us home for the Normandy landings, D-Day.
So you got no rest at all?
We had a week's leave, and so I was very busy with Florence.
Yeah. So you got to see Florence
I got to see Florence before I went to Normandy.
And I'm sure you were very busy.
Aye, in more ways than one. And that's a defence medal. And that one there is a victory medal.
And how will you feel today, standing in front of the Queen with all them?
I feel as proud as punch. I couldn't be looking at a more superb woman than the Queen. She has been wonderful.
And have you thought, John, that if you get the chance to talk to her, have you thought about what you'll say?
I don't think I'll ever get the chance to talk to her. I would like to, but it's up to her. Again, if we're in the same room and I'm looking at her, get a nice close look at her, it'll do me the world of good. If she puts her hand out, then I'll put my hand out. But I also want to give her a good salute. That's the original cap in 1939. I'm wearing that today.
Oh, so between the medals and the cap?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, John, you're the most impressive soldier I've ever seen. You're practicing your salute with your cap on. Do it again for me.
I was a sergeant, and it's the longest way up and the shortest way down. That's the salute.
Are you nervous at all?
No, why should you be nervous? I'm proud. It's a very great privilege I've been given to go and sit in the same room as the Queen to have lunch. They're going to try and get me as near to Her Majesty as possible. As long as they don't put me on her knee, I'll be happy.
No, don't be sitting on her knee, John. Oh, I think everybody is just so excited for you, having followed you know, the story over the last couple of weeks of you not getting a ticket and then getting a ticket and then getting this super VIP access.
When I came through the door on Saturday morning, if there had been a hole in the floor, I would have fell through it. It's a dream come true. I'll have to watch the tears run down my cheeks.
Well, that was Lisa talking to John before he met the Queen. John's with us now. Afterwards. Morning to you, John.
Good morning to you, Mr. Nolan.
What was
Very good morning to you.
What was it like?
It was wonderful. But before we talk about this, I want to sympathise with all those people who've been very distraught over this flooding system. I sympathise with them very much.
Shows you just the man you are, John, that you're thinking about them this morning, and thank you for doing so. John, tell me what it was like getting your dream come true.
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And when the Queen came up to me, she came across the room, and I thought that she would just look and walk past. But she stopped, and I saluted. And after I saluted, she put her hand out to shake my hand. I was very proud, and I shook her hand, and I said to her, "Oh, ma'am, Your Majesty." She says, "What?" I said, "I remember you when you were in the ATS. "Oh," I said, "and you were wearing dungarees, and you changed my sparking plugs on my wee Austin van." And she smiled. And so, and then at the table, we got talking to each other. I never even realised...
You had dinner with the Queen.
I never even realised that was happening. After she finished...
Can you imagine, John, a week ago, you were ringing this programme saying you were distraught that you couldn't even get a ticket to go to the Jubilee party.
That's right.
And a week later, you're sitting having dinner with the Queen.
Absolutely wonderful. And when they took me from the room where the Queen was walking round us all, then somebody came and took me in and said, "John, you're going to table number one."
And I believe, John, by the way, and credit where it's due, I believe that the First Minister, Peter Robinson, had a big, big hand to play in you having dinner with the Queen. I believe that he heard your story and he made it happen for you.
Oh, he did indeed. And sitting at the table, I was at the table, and on my right was Iris Robinson, Peter's wife. And on next to Iris Robinson was the First Minister himself, Peter. And then the Queen. I was only two chairs between the Queen and myself. I could nearly put my hand over and shake her hand sitting at the table.
What did you have to eat?
And we talked to each other.
What did you have to eat, John?
Oh, salmon and all the wee highfalutin things. It was a wee bit of this and a wee bit of that. Not like what we usually get in the restaurant, a big dollop of potatoes and roast beef and what.
Tell me this, John.
Yeah.
What did this mean to you? How would you sum it up?
Well, this has made my life perfect, 100%. And I never thought the day would have come that I would even have shook hands with the Queen. And to sit down and have lunch at the same table, it's a marvellous, and I thank the First Minister and all the people who was involved getting me this ticket. I congratulate them, and I'm as proud as punch. Okay?
John?
Yeah?
You're a gentleman, aren't you?
Oh, no.
You are, sir.
I'm just John.
You're not just John.